Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you all here for the 11 o'clock service. The book of Hebrews this morning as we begin a new series of messages, 13 weeks in the book of Hebrews. And this morning we're going to actually begin in the last chapter, chapter 13, verse 22. If you want to find out, although we're going to be looking at a lot of different scriptures this morning, but we're going to start in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 22. I believe that this series on endurance, based on the book of Hebrews, is very timely. We have just concluded two sermon series on Sunday mornings, God is Able and God Has Something for You. And I think this is such an appropriate follow-up to those series for this reason. God has been working and moving and stirring hearts throughout those two sermon series. Many people have been making renewed commitments to the Lord. Many people in our church have been stepping up and stepping into new places of service or new ways of ministry and all of that. And what's going to happen is when that happens, our spiritual enemy does everything that he can to put resistance in front of us and try to derail that renewed commitment and discourage that renewed commitment right away. We need endurance. And we're going to see that throughout these next 13 weeks. And we're not only going to see the importance of endurance and what endurance really is, but how we can receive that endurance, how we can live in the endurance that only God can bring. But I first want to go to Hebrews 13, 22 and share what the author of Hebrews shares here about this letter. And by the way, this is the only book of the Bible that we don't know definitively who the human author is. I'll say this, it's very possible it could be a woman, which is why we don't know who the human author is, why the name was not attached to this letter, because 2,000 years ago, it would not have received the acceptance because it was simply authored by a woman. I don't believe it was Paul. I believe it was someone other than Paul. But that's for another time, another place. But notice what the author does say in Hebrews 13, 22. Bear with this word of exhortation. First of all, the author describes this entire book, these 13 chapters, as a sermon. You think I preach long? This is to be read as basically one entire sermon from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, all the way up through Hebrews 13, verse 25. It is one word of exhortation. And by the way, that's the Greek word parakaleo, meaning one who comes alongside, puts their arm around you to encourage you. It's the same word that's used for the Holy Spirit. The parakaleo, the one who comes alongside of us to encourage us. And notice what the author says, bear with this word. In other words, it's sort of like medicine. Doesn't taste very good, but it's going to help you to feel better. That's the way I sort of describe it. It threw me back to when I was a child. And I remember my mom pouring this syrup onto a spoon and saying, come on, Jeff, you got to take it. I know it's not going to taste good, but it's going to make you feel better. That's where the author is coming from. You know, this is something that all of us, including them, needed to hear, not something we always want to hear, not something that's always going to be easy going down, not something that, you know, it might make us feel a little uncomfortable at times, but it's worth it because we need this message. We need this message, and here's why. Go with me now to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. This is the verse upon which this entire sermon series is going to be founded, and you're going to hear this verse every single week for the next 13 weeks. Because this is what we're going to be talking about and why we're talking about it. The author of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 10:36, "For we need endurance in order to do the will of God and receive what is promised." In other words, endurance is not optional to the Christian. Not optional. It is a divine necessity. We need to learn how to endure, how to persevere. And we need to do it in order to do God's will. I would hope that every Christian here this morning desires to do God's will. But notice the author says, it's impossible to do God's will as a Christian if we're not able to endure. And then they add, and receive what is promised. This verse flies in the face of our culture today that is all about instant gratification and quick, easy fixes. That is not what God's about. God says there will be no instant gratification and there will be no easy, quick fixes when it comes to Christ being formed in us. Our Christian life is a marathon, and doing the will of God on earth is a marathon that requires all of us to endure and persevere. Now, to add to how endurance is such a key expression in this book, go with me now to Hebrews chapter 12 and look at the first three verses. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, here's what the author says. Run with endurance the race that is set out for us. Then in Hebrews 12, 2, the author says this, who for the joy that was set before him, Jesus, he endured the cross. And then finally in verse 3, the author says, think of him, Jesus, who endured. Endurance. What is endurance from a biblical point of view? How does the Bible define endurance? Let me give you that definition. Endurance from the biblical perspective is that supernatural staying power that comes from God and only from God. It is that holy divine stick-to-itiveness, that hang in there strength that only comes from God. You see, all of us, even as Christians, as human beings, we have an end, we have a limit. And there are seasons of our life and situations in our life where we just feel like, I'm done. I'm giving up. I'm out of the race. I'm quitting. I cannot go any further. And God says, yeah, you can. Let me give you the supernatural staying power that you need to hang in there when you feel like giving up and quitting. And there are times in our life where all of us feel that way. We are losing heart. We're getting discouraged. We feel like fainting. We feel like giving up. We feel like throwing in the towel. And God is saying, you need to keep going. Let me give you that supernatural endurance and perseverance to keep going when you don't feel like you want to keep on going. Because it's the only way to do God's will and receive what is promised. So join me now back at the beginning of this book in Hebrews chapter 1. How does the author of this great letter, this 13-chapter sermon, how does the author begin to encourage us to endure? We're only going to look at one thing as we begin this sermon series, and we could begin in no better place. We're just going to talk about Jesus for the rest of the day. I want you to begin following along as I read just the first few verses here. Actually, not even into verse 2 too far. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. After God spoke long ago in various portions and in various ways to our ancestors through the prophets, in these last days he has spoken to us in a son. How is God going to encourage us? First of all, by speaking to us through his son and in his son Jesus. That's how. And we're going to look this morning at who Jesus is, in what Jesus did, and in what Jesus said. That's my 3-point outline of my message. By the way, notice in verse 2, the author says, in these last days God has spoken. You see, from God's perspective, the last days started when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Many Christians go, oh, we're living in the last days. From God's perspective, we've been living in the last days for a couple thousand years. Because a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day to God. So we got to be careful that we don't get caught up in the whole hype of last days whenever we've been living in the last days for 2,000 some years. And in these last days, here's what God has done. He says, I'm going to speak to all of you through my son. And if you think of him and you consider him and you take note of him and you see him and you hear him, you will be inspired and motivated and encouraged to endure. Center your thoughts, your heart, everything upon Jesus. So let's start there. I want to first remind us, as the author of Hebrews does, about who Jesus is. Who is the one on the throne right now who can help us, as we're going to learn in the coming weeks? Who is the one who is interceding for us? You know. Who is that? And the reason we're going to start there is because when we get to what Jesus did, it's going to make what Jesus has done for each of us even more amazing, more incredible, more astonishing. But we got to start with who he is. So who is he? Keep reading in verse 2 of Hebrews 1. He's the heir of all things. He's the creator of the world. He's the radiance of God's glory, the representation of his essence. He sustains all things by his powerful word. He's accomplished cleansing for sins, and he has now sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. For the sake of the message today, I want to summarize those thoughts in this way. Jesus is the creator, sustainer, and savior of the world. And then notice verse 8. He's also the sovereign of the universe. For he says of the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The creator of the world, the sustainer of the world, the savior of the world, the sovereign of the world. This is who Jesus is. Verse 10, you founded the earth in the beginning, Lord, and the heavens are the work of your hands. All of them will pass away, but you will never pass away because your years will never run out. You are the immortal, invisible God, Jesus, made visible when he came to earth. Much of Hebrews chapter 1 is comparing Jesus to the angels. That's why in verse 4, the author says, oh, he is so far better than the angels, so far superior to the angels. Why did the author start there? Because remember, this book was primarily written to Hebrews, to first century Jewish Christians. And they were enamored by angels. They sort of put angels up on a pedestal. And one of the things the author wants to do right away is say, you got to put angels in their proper place, and you got to make sure you put the Son of God, Jesus, in his proper place. The angels are servants of Jesus. He's the Son, they're servants. The angels worship Jesus. So make sure you keep angels where they need to be. And make sure that you know at all times that anyone and anything in the universe that Jesus created, that he is far better, far superior to anything and anyone else of created order. I want you to keep your finger in Hebrews 1. I want you to go over with me to the book of Colossians chapter 1. beginning at verse 15. I want you to see where Paul, describing Jesus, uses the very same descriptions to elevate and exalt and magnify him. In a sense, he says the same thing as the author of Hebrews, that Jesus is the creator, the sustainer, the savior, and the sovereign of the world that he created. By the way, for the sake of just information today that might be helpful to you, you may note in your Bible that verses 15 through 20 of Colossians 1 is set differently in its type. It's sort of set apart from the rest of the book. Why is that? Because we believe that this portion of Colossians was an early church creed. It was adapted to music and was used as an early church worship song, so that the early Christians could sing about the truth, the wonderful, amazing truth of Jesus, in order to remember it and retain it. We all get that. How is it that in our brains we can remember lyrics of songs from long time ago? There's something about the dynamic of music that can help people remember things. And that's why the early Christians set much of their doctrine, a lot of their theology, to songs that they could sing in worship in order not only to praise Jesus, but also to just be reminded of the solid theology and truth that these songs were exclaiming. And so notice what Paul writes about Jesus, who he is. Beginning in Colossians 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For all things, without exception, in heaven and on earth, were created by him. All things, whether visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions, whether principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. The creator. Also, sustainer. Verse 17, he himself is before all things, and all things are held together or sustained in him. Isn't that amazing? If someone was to ask you, who holds the world together, who holds the universe together? Jesus does. That's why I don't have to worry and be anxious and stressed out about the world. Jesus holds it together. And if Jesus can hold the world together, guess what? He can hold you and me together too. You never have to worry when you feel like you're falling apart and, you know, I can't keep it together. Jesus can hold you together because he holds everything together, you see. Then notice, he is the head of the body, verse 18, the church, as well as the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he himself may become first, preeminent in all things. For God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in the Son. And now comes the Savior of the world. Through him to reconcile all things to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross through him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Wow. This is who Jesus is. And the author of Hebrews is saying, God has spoken to us in his Son. Do we not see him? Do we not think of him in order to endure? This is who we can pray to. This is who intercedes for us. This is who helps us. This is who holds us together. We've got the greatest person in the universe for us. No wonder Paul said, if God's for us, who can be against us? Who better than Jesus in our corner? So this truth should inspire us to endure. But then I want us to move to not only who Jesus is, but what he did. And actually, I want you to go now just back a book to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. And it just so happens that here's another passage that served as an early church creed that became a worship song in the early church. And again, you'll see typeset differently than the other parts of the book of Philippians, beginning in verse 5 through verse 11. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through verse 11. And again, think about when we begin to appreciate who Jesus is, it makes what he was willing to do for each of us because he loves us so much, again, even more astonishing and amazing. So notice what Paul writes. You should have the same attitude toward one another that Jesus Christ had, who though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped or held onto, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a slave, by looking like other men, by sharing in human nature. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. As a result, God exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What a Savior! What a God! Here he is, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of the universe, the savior of the universe, the sovereign of the universe, and he's willing to condescend and wrap himself in humanity, to lay aside the independent use of his attributes as the second person of the Trinity while he's here on earth, to wrap himself in humanity and live on earth as a human being, fully God, but fully human, to experience what it's like to live on this earth as a human being, to experience sleeplessness and hunger and thirst and pain and, oh, by the way, rejection and mocking and slander and crucifixion and thorns on his head and nails put through him and a spear put into his side. Out of his great love for us. No wonder the author says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured all this. Do we not think about what Jesus endured for us? And so when he asks us to endure, to do his will, how can we not follow? Knowing that he's even going to supply us with the supernatural staying power that we need to continue to endure because of who he is. Think of him, the author says, chapter 12, verse 3, who endured and what he went through for each of us. I know that there are days, weeks, months, seasons of our life on earth that it's just like, I'm done. I just can't go another day. I can't take another step. I'm done. We've all been there. And we don't have to like somehow try to suck it up and manufacture some human, you know, strength to be able to keep moving forward. No, all we have to do is say, God, help me. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Those that realize that God can supply us with that supernatural staying power and stick-to-itiveness, we lean heavily into him and we say, God, you know I'm at the end of myself, but you're asking me to keep going, so I'm going to keep going totally in you because I know that's the only way I can keep going. Otherwise, I'm waving the white flag and I'm giving up. We can be encouraged to endure because of who Jesus is and because what he has done for each of us. But we also can be encouraged because, as the author of Hebrews says, in these last days, God has spoken to us in his Son. And it wasn't just who Jesus is and what Jesus did, it's what Jesus said. You see, Jesus says, the words that I give you, their life. Their life. So latch on and listen and hear what I, Jesus, am saying to my people. So would you just allow me to take a few minutes at this point in the message and just share with you some of the encouraging things that Jesus has said to his followers while he was here on earth that can encourage us as well. Let's start with Jesus' great invitation in Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my load is not hard to carry. Jesus, interacting with the woman at the well, says, if you drink water from that well, you'll be thirsty again. But the water that I want to give you and that I can give you, if you receive that water, you'll never be thirsty again, because it will become in you a fountain that literally and continually springs up unto eternal life. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will never be hungry. The one who believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the door. The one who comes through me will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even if he dies. Jesus said to his followers when they were very upset when he kept telling them, I'm going away. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would tell you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas goes, Lord, we don't know where you're going and we don't know the way. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the true vine. I am the vine and you are the branches. And if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can accomplish nothing. This is eternal life, Jesus said, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, your Son, whom you have sent to this world. Hearing the words of Jesus can inspire us and motivate us and encourage us to endure. In fact, it's recorded in John chapter 7, there was a temple guard that had been listening to Jesus, and here was his response after listening to the words of Jesus. No one ever spoke like that man. And that's true. No one ever spoke like Jesus. No one ever uttered the words like Jesus did. And so you and I, we can have, in a sense, renewed breath and renewed life breathed into us through the Word of God. Remember, as the author of Hebrews says, our life, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And there's going to be those moments in running this race of life where we feel like we've hit a wall and we can't go any further. Let God breathe that new life into you so that you can get through that wall and keep on running. Run with endurance the race that is set before you. And in the weeks to come, we're going to look at chapter after chapter after chapter of this wonderful book. And we're going to see the things that God says to his people that inspires us and encourages us to endure, because all of us need that encouragement. There's not a one of us that's going to live life and not at some point feel like, I can't do this anymore. I can't go one more step, one more day. We all need that encouragement of endurance. And the things that God has done and said are there for us to be inspired by. And the supernatural staying power and stick-to-itiveness, if you will, is there at our disposal. If we will simply ask the Lord, Lord, I need your help. I need your supernatural strength and stamina to just keep on going when I don't feel like it anymore. I hope today that we will begin this journey of encouragement to endure. For this reason, and this reason alone would be enough. For we need endurance, Hebrews 10:36, in order to do the will of God and receive what is promised. Again, I don't know about you, but I want to do the will of God, and I want to receive all that He has promised me. But the only way I can experience that is not by giving up and quitting. It's only through persevering and through enduring. I shared this at the 9 o'clock. I'll share it now right before I close. There's only one kind of person that God can't help. Only one kind of person that God can't help. And that's the person who quits, who basically says, I'm done. And I've seen that in 41 years as a pastor. In counseling somebody or talking to somebody, trying to encourage them or whatever, and they just say, nope, I'm not interested. I'm done. Nothing you can do. Because God's not going to force Himself upon anybody. We've got to want it. Even when we think we've got nothing left, God has what we need. And we just need to look to God to give us what we don't have anymore in and of ourselves. In fact, sometimes that's not a bad place to be. When we've come to the end of ourselves, we realize God is all we need. God is all we need. And so I hope you'll be encouraged, not only today, but in the weeks ahead. I'm going to ask Nicole and our worship team to come. And while they're coming, I'm going to ask you to join me in prayer as you stand, please, as we transition back to some worship this morning. Father, I pray today that all of us, Lord, realize the necessity of endurance. That's the only way to do the will of God. It's the only way to receive what is promised. I pray, God, that we will have the long-distance runner's mindset as we live our life, that we must run with endurance the race that is set before us, that we must think of Him who endured, who for the joy that was set out for Him, Jesus endured the cross. And so, Lord, may we be inspired and motivated, reminding ourselves of who He is, of what He's done, and of what He said. Lord, may we be filled with Your encouragement and Your supernatural staying power today. And maybe there's someone in our life, Lord, maybe a family member, a friend, a coworker, someone we're going to school with right now, that we know, Lord, they're about at the end of themselves and ready to give up and throw in the towel. And maybe, God, You will give us an opportunity to come alongside them and speak words of encouragement to them so that, Lord, we can encourage others as You've encouraged us. Use this time of worship that You've given us this morning and this message, Lord, not only to be an encouragement to us, let it not end with us, God, but let us be channels and instruments of encouragement to others who need it, because, God, we run into people every day in our lives who need encouraged. and who are ready to give up and quit. So, Lord, may this message not just be finished today, but may it begin something today in our lives and in the lives of others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.